Psalm chapter 20, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. God, we pray for our brother, for our own sakes, that you would anoint him and help him to preach your word with great faithfulness and power. Oh Lord, attend by your Spirit, attend the preaching of your word, and give him the ability to preach with power, and give us the ability to hear and receive. How happy we are to be under the authority of your word. Thank you for this great gift of your word and of the preaching of your word. Please bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're spending a couple weeks in the Psalms, and one of the things I think of when I think of the Psalms is in our Bible reading plans, sometimes we get to the section on the Psalms, we're reading 4 to 6 Psalms a day. And sometimes it seems like that I just got to plow through this. I get through 6 Psalms. Now, some of them are really short. But still, sometimes it seems like we've got to plow through them. They're not narrative. They're poetry, which can be hard to understand at times. But this is God's Word. They're not disjointed. They're ordered well. This is God's Word. So one of the helps to us as that I pray for us as we spend a couple weeks on the Psalms, it would just help us to want to slow down when we get to them. Just spend more time meditating instead of plow through to get through a reading plan. That's been helpful. That's been helpful to me the last couple weeks. It's been helpful as we preach through some of them at the nursing home, just to help us slow down, meditate on them, and as we see today, a psalm of prayer and a song and a psalm of singing, that we would pray, that we'd use these for prayer. I've titled Psalm 20, Save, Lord. This is from verse 9. Right from verse 9, Save, Lord. And it really sums up the psalm that's talking about this day of trouble. And this day of trouble that we either have or we will have or we have had. But it sums up, Save, Lord. We're going to talk about the gospel. We needed the Lord to save us first. We've needed the Lord to save us our whole life. We need the Lord to save us, open our eyes and ears to the gospel and our desperate need for Him, and then we continue to need the Lord to save us, to keep us now and forevermore. So save, Lord. This is focused on the Lord. Yes, it's a day of our troubles, but this message is focused on the Lord and His care for us. I'm broken down in a few sections. Let's start in verses 1 through 4. This is a prayer of blessing. This is also a song. So these are songs that are being sung. This is to the chief musician, a psalm of David. This is a prayer in the form of song, a prayer of blessing, like a benediction here at the beginning. Verses 1 through 4. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purposes. Start here with, it seems like an easy question, who are we praying to here? Who is this being sung to? Like, well, James, this is easy. It's God. But when we look through this, the beginning of this psalm, these first four passages, these first four verses, there are three ways that David, God through David, is using to grab our attention of who this is that we're praying to. I want to lay that foundation first in these verses. It really lays the foundation for the whole psalm. At the beginning of this, it says, may the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, may the Lord. This is signifying God, the Lord Almighty, His most holiest of names, so holy that the Jews wouldn't even dare try to pronounce this. This is the most holy God. This is Yahweh, Jehovah, our God and Father. This is the self-existent, the divine, I am God. That's who we are directing, not just this prayer to, but all of our prayers are being directed to God. Be in awe of this start. In days of trouble, be people of prayer. Jesus, his days on earth were full of troubles. You can think of them, full of troubles, all leading up to a day of trouble. When he took on the wrath of God, to save sinners. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He did not deserve a bit of what he got on earth. He didn't deserve any of what happened on that cross, much less taking on the wrath of God. But he did. Now was a day of trouble. So Psalm 20 is a psalm, but it's also a prayer for the day of trouble. If we don't pray in our days of trouble, if not then, when? When would we cry out to God if not in our days of trouble? That's what's so helpful, I think, in this psalm. Of all the days we should be crying out to God, it'd be the days of trouble. Yes, it shouldn't be it. But if we don't have a pattern of praying to God as we're being helped here in days of trouble, when then? When? When would we have enough attention? When would God get our attention enough that we would pray? If not then, Jesus, before going to the cross, he spent all night in prayer. And Jesus knew the end. He knew when the end of his trouble was, and he still spent all night in prayer, and he had a big pattern for prayer. Have your troubles ever led you to spending all night in prayer? I know they have for me. And one particular one I'm thinking of, it did. You know what that night brought? Probably one of the sweetest times of prayer I've ever had. But his communing with his God, with his Father, communing over a day of trouble. Brothers, sisters, if you're in that place, I urge you back and say, thank you. I am more confident in my God. You are the God. You are most. Spurgeon says, what a mercy, more blessed privilege that no trouble can prevent the Lord from hearing, caring for you in the day of trouble. He is. Cry out to him. He will hear. In these first four verses, I want to point us to five requests for God's help in the day of trouble. Number one, seen in verse 1, may he protect you. May he, that's what this word means, defend. May he set you securely on high. Defend you. Maybe just being prideful and thinking you should be defended, why would he defend? He cares for you. He defends his kingdom, whom Christ died for. And you're his daughter. In that day of trouble, remember, God is defending you. The
second way that we request for God's help in the day of trouble is seen in verse 2. Do you help from the sanctuary? The sanctuary represents the Lord's presence. This is sent directly from the presence of God. Think of when God sent angels to Jesus right after Satan had come to him. Directly from the presence of God. God is directly in the presence of God.
God sends you help from the church body. Sends you help from the church body. Psalm 20 for you. And have your name before the most holy God. He sends help through our Sunday, through the Lord's Supper, through our fellowship.
This is help from God. From God in days of trouble. It's seen in verse 2 as well. May He comfort you. May He refresh you. May He grant you support. May He hold you up. The idea here is that troubles may linger for a long time, and we're going to need strengthened. We need that support. We need it. We need it through temptations and trials and difficulties and sicknesses and ailments and relational troubles. We need His support and care when we are not repenting and He is chastening us hard. He's chastening us because He loves us. He's caring for us and directing us and conforming us. We need Him to support that, support us, help us through that. He strengthens you from Zion, from God's dwelling place, from heaven where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. We are praying in this psalm. David is praying. We are called to pray. But you have an advocate before the throne. He is pleading for you up. The fourth way, may God remember all your offerings and accept all your burnt. All the sacrifices will be done in obedience out of faith. Right, so when David's writing this, he's still looking. May all of these sacrifices, would they be accepted? Would faith in Messiah to come, would they be acceptable to you, brother and sister? We know they are now. Pointed to Jesus Christ, and they are perfectly accepted by God. All your burnt sacrifices, yes, He does remember. So I just said, Jesus is right by Him and His work. Preach that to yourself in the day of trouble. You are accepted in God because of the sacrifices and offerings of Jesus. The Selah. And this is a music, whether it's read or not, doesn't really matter in our prayers. Don't think that we just have to talk in our prayers. When we pray, let there be pauses. We're pauses to meditate on what has been prayed, and maybe you're continuing a prayer in your own mind and enjoy the presence of God and the Holy Spirit helping you amongst your church body. Constant stream. Be still. Gather your thoughts. Think about it. Sometimes in those Selahs are some of the most start praying when I'm like, okay, all right, I'm done trying to fool God. This is what's really needed. Specific about particular sins, specific about this day of trouble and how you're thinking about it. Then in verse 4, we have the grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your own heart. We know those well. We know where our heart has led us before. But we were told last week that this a person that is saturated in God's counsel, who sets the Lord before himself always, can then have his heart instruct him. In that same way, here in this psalm, we see a person whose confidence is in the Lord, in His perfection, in His goodness, and in His righteousness. So God's great disposition is to love us, to show His love and His care and His delight in you. He gave you a new heart. Remember that. He gave you a new heart, filled you with the Holy Spirit, gives you new desires, that your will would be His will, and He will gladly, gladly give you desires. He wants you to have godly desires and good desires. We still have bad desires, but He wants you, He gave you that new heart for new desires. And He'll gladly give you your heart's desires, fulfill all your plans. He wants to happily do that for you. Verse 5, talking about rejoicing. We will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. This is switching from the personal you. We had may you, may he, answer you. May he defend you. May he strengthen you. May he remember all your offerings. Grant you to we. In church, we are now united in our prayer with one another. The prayer for a blessing, when you see what the Lord does for you, Christ should lead us to rejoicing. Even in that day of trouble, it should lead us to rejoicing, which begs us to go back to Philippians. I've been out very long. Please turn to Philippians 4. Your Bibles should be able to open to this very readily now. Should find it very quickly if you still have the pages there. Philippians 4. Now, I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. As I'm reading it now think of this day of trouble as part of this. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart. Look at this passage through the lens of Psalm 20. Always hurry. Don't worry about that day of trouble. Don't be anxious. Let your request, we just went through five requests, be made known to God and minds through this day of trouble. And you'll, brother, how can you do this, sister? Let me tell you about my God. And sending help from His presence, from Zion, from the sanctuary. Let me tell you about what a comfort this is. We can rejoice always, even in trouble, because our troubles are not the end. No matter what comes our way, and eventually it will be death, but no matter what comes our way, our source of joy is through Jesus and His salvation. We will rejoice. And rejoicing here in Psalm 20 also has this idea behind its meaning of singing for joy, even in the day of trouble. When I think about singing for joy in the day of trouble, I think of my favorite hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. That was penned by a man right after we're in a shipwreck in the Atlantic and his four daughters perished. Sweet song. In his day of trouble, God gave us. We can sing in the middle of our day of trouble. We can sing while we weep. Deerfield, we can sing during our weeping, our sorrow, and our heart. Yes, it's a prayer. It's a song, too. Sing this song as a prayer. We are rejoicing, and we are raising God. These are victory banners. In the name of our God, of His kindness, His love, His mercy, His grace. Banners that can be raised now, even in the day of trouble. They can be victory. Our day of trouble, your day of trouble, Lord doesn't return. It may be quick for some of us, instant death, but these are banners of victory, even in that day of trouble. In Exodus, it says, Moses built an altar and called its name 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. We know that is Jesus. And in that day there shall be... Who shall stand? For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be... You have a back. Who is the Lord? Who is God? Who is Jesus? Gentiles, you have been saved, and you can rest in him gloriously in all of your days, including the days. Rest in your banner. That banner is put up, not saying how great I am. That banner is put up to tell everybody how great Jesus is. Look on him. Look on the Lord. Look on his name. Look at what he is. Look at his perfect, infinite attributes. Look at the Savior. Look on him. Be comforted. Rest in the Lord. Wonderful words. The end of verse 5,
we're back to a prayer of blessing. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Not my will, but thy will, we pray. May our desires and requests be according to your will, O God. You are good. In this day of trouble, you are keeping the work in us. You are conforming us. That is good. That is righteous. And we want that. We want to be conformed. We want to be conformed, which means in order to be conformed, we need to be reformed, and that is not because it doesn't feel good. So often. And it really doesn't feel good in trouble. It should be reformed, being reformed. And may the Lord fulfill all your petitions, may he fulfill all your requests, and the Lord fill your greatest requests. He opened your eyes and your ears to the gospel, and you said, Lord, forgive me. He did. Saved. He answered that request for us thousands of years ago, and we fulfilled that. Why would you doubt that he would ever not care for you? Rejoice in the day of trouble. Jesus is one. I can rescue this Lord. For know that the Lord saved his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with a sin, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Prayers in verses 1 through 5 should lead us to an assurance. It should lead us to a faith. It should lead us to hope. It should lead us to a confidence in our Lord. It should. Richard's here to give us that confidence in our Lord. And to give us that assurance and that hope throughout. This is to the anointed, to the saints in Jesus, those saved. The grace and mercy of God. Brethren, do you lack any assurance in your salvation? If you're not saved, you should lack assurance. But brethren, those that are the saints of God, do you lack assurance in salvation? Here's an answer for you. Pray. Pray these wonderful truths of Scripture. Pray them. That's a form of preaching to yourself, teaching yourself, reminding yourself who this God is that saved you and what he will continue to do. Pray. Do you lack hope in God's promises that they will come to pass? Pray. Do you lack faith in God alone? Pray. Do you lack confidence in God? Pray. Just take these to God. Pray for yourself. Pray for each other, we in here. Pray for each other. Pray corporately for each other in our gathering. We do that. Continue to do that. The Lord answers you from his holy, from Zion, from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. If the Lord answers your prayer, words of encouragement, it should be enough like this psalm. He also demonstrates to what he does by the might and power of his right hand, the Lord, that he's caring for you, that he has pleasure in you, that he delights in you by his action. Show that.
Have you seen it? Have you seen that he's cared for you in the days of trouble? We sing a lot of good songs. I don't know how much time you take to look at the songs you're going to be singing from week to week. Truth, I believe this, I want to sing with all my heart, and bless the Lord, O my soul. In the second verse, your name is great and your heart is kind. For all time, do you believe there are 10,000 reasons? In other words, an uncountable number. Do you believe that? Do you know that? If not,
have you seen that?
Maybe you need help with this. You're thinking, how is God help? Well, okay. Let's go back. Just start very basic. Before you were saved, you were in complete rebellion. I was in complete rebellion to God. I deserved death and his full wrath. And his long suffering, he didn't do that for me or you. Pray for many others. And he saves. There's one. There's a ton right there. And then he continues to keep us and care for us. He sends us his Holy Spirit. Because God delights in Jesus, he delights in you. And he's caring for them. Understand them. Look for them. In the day of trouble especially, look for how... be confident in the saving strength of his right hand. And in verses 7 and 8, trust in God and those that do. The difference between those that have their confidence in the Lord and the effects towards those that have their confidence in the Lord. Now, talking about passivism at all, on they just sit back and let God. At times, David, who killed lions and bears to protect his flock, his responsibility, had no problem doing that. He didn't wear the king's armor, but because it didn't fit him. He wasn't comfortable with it. Is a sling and these stones, because that's what I've used often. That's what I'm going to take and arm myself with in killing. He uses other people. Praise God, he uses doctors and medicine and government. Thankful for God's provision of his protecting us through various means. We're thankful for those means that God provides. We love them. But is God providing? The Lord is the first. We are to go to God first and most. Are you running to earthly help first, even trouble, but also has ordained how he's going to sustain, care for you, and get you through this trouble, used by God to help you? I'm not the one that can absolutely solve this for you. You are wonderful to be. You're wonderfully used by God to support people in their days. You support them whenever. And as much as we're thankful for one another, we're thankful that God to support and help one another. Now, that day of trouble, if there's a heart attack, call 911. If there's a fire, call 911. Please do that. Nehemiah, back, go back and read the prayer in Nehemiah. Read Nehemiah 1 and 2. He was afraid before the king. He says he was dreadfully afraid. He did that. Before that day of his trouble, that moment of trouble, he's the cupbearer, is a very important person. Before that day came, he was, when the king saw that he was downcast and asked him, and he was dreadfully afraid of having to made a prayer to prepare himself for that day. Let's pray. We know that. We've been there, and they are coming. That the Lord would remember. That the Lord would remember us. Here in verse 7, we say, we will remember. We will remember the name of the Lord our God and all of his perfect, infinite attributes. We prayed for God to remember us. Now we're saying, we will remember. I want you to listen very carefully. Children, my children, please listen to this very carefully. A couple things here. In order for you to remember anything, you have to have known it first. Right? Can't remember what you don't know. So listen to this very carefully. You've first known the Lord your God. You know God. I'm not talking, oh yeah, I know, I'm hearing what you said, I know what you said. Jesus, who is God, as your Savior. Do you know him? Dinner, and if you were to die and you were to stand before the most holy God, we talked about this, the most holy God, because he is perfect in his justice demands his complete wrath for your penalty of your sin and complete separation of him forever. That's what a perfect holy God says. Do you know that you would perish forever if you were to stand before him in your sin? Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Do you know that he is God and that he came to live the perfect life that we could not live, that we were commanded to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect? We're to be holy as he is holy. And we couldn't do that, and we needed a substitute. We talked about the sacrifices and offerings. They didn't save anybody. But they all pointed to our need for a Savior. And Jesus was that Savior. And he is that Savior who is God forever, for all of eternity. And he took on that penalty of sin and the wrath of God that I deserve, that you deserve. And if you die in your sin, you will get that wrath. But if you know this God, he gives you a new heart and causes you, the primary cause, causes you to repent, and you will be saved. and you will stand before that holy God, hiding your sins. No, your sins are gone. Your sins are gone, and then you, the most just God. And he invites righteousness and holiness, just like he's a just God, to send you away and perish in your sins forever and ever. You can remember him. And this remember can also be translated boast. So it could have said some in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Galatians 6, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I will boast in Christ. In verse 8, we see the effects of where you put your trust. Hey, listen up. If you don't put your trust in God, it says here, you will be bowed down and fallen. You will collapse. You'll be brought down to your knees if your trust is not in God alone for your salvation. If your trust is not in God alone as the primary cause for everything, the primary cause for defending you and strengthening you and helping you, the primary cause that your trust in Him. If your trust is not in Him, your foundation is on sand. You have no hope. You really don't. You may see that. We've got some sweet words coming up of what he does for us. Of hell, your chariots and horses from the Song of Moses and in Exodus 15, your chins, maybe your smartness, your own strength, what you think you have will be. If you trust in God, starting with repenting and believe all your days, including the days of trouble, you will be made because of God and what he does. Brethren, we begin life in trouble. But then God saves us by His grace. He gives us eternal life. None shall perish. None shall snatch us from His hand. That sounds like being defended. That made to rise. Those that have their trust in God, that's the effect of the day of trouble. As He defends you and sets you on high with His almighty arm. Brother, flee to Jesus. Flee to your Lord. Flee to the again and again. It is only see here by the power of his right hand, nailed, scarred hands, that you and I can be strengthened, that we can be accept, endure forever. Believe him. And in verse 9, we end a prayer to the Lord, the King, the only one that can save your soul and save you in trouble. In prayer, may the King answer us. When we encourage us in our times of corporate prayer, of our church prayer on Wednesday nights, may the Lord answer us when we call, and He will. He does. Remember all the ways He has. Let me give you two applications. First application, I want you to turn to Ephesians 6. Turn to Ephesians 6 while you're turning there. The application is make use of the privilege and help of prayer. This is a great weapon in our spiritual battles and days of trouble. And we see this in this psalm. We see this in Ephesians 6. Look at Ephesians 6. We know Ephesians 6 for a few things on children and parents, but we also know it for the armor of God. And in verse 13, we see that we're to take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Make use of the privilege and the help of prayer. This is right there in this great armor of God passage. We love the helmet of salvation, girding yourself with faith. We love all that. Do not stop at verse 17. Verse 18, prayer is an important part of arming yourself for this battle. Such an important part. He remembers you. God uses through Paul imagery of armor to help us understand how it is. Prayer is right there. Use that. It's a great privilege and a great help. Number two, remember, keep in the front of your mind who is the Lord, the name of the God. Day of trouble, you may be lacking assurance and hope and confidence. Keep in the name of the God of Jacob and let this drive rejoicing and confidence, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Let's pray. Our Lord, our Savior, our Helper, oh, I thank you for giving David this psalm and for having it as part of your inspired scripture. I thank you for your defending us, for strengthening us, for accepting us through Jesus Christ. For your care for us, I thank you that you delight in us. I thank you that you support us in these days of trouble. Oh God, days of trouble have come for many of us and will continue to come. And we are in the middle. There are people here in the middle of a day of trouble now. God, please support them, strengthen them, defend them, and let them see how you're doing this, God. And may it encourage all of us for our day of trouble. You are the great God, the Lord Almighty, the Most Holy. You are perfect in all of your ways, and you never change. May our trust, may our confidence be continually in you. Thank you for giving us a church that would care for one of us, that you would cause us to have love for one another. Build that love even more, God. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.